Psalm 58. And just Psalm 57, loved one, listen, it is, to me, it's a great psalm. I love that psalm with all of my heart, and as you love the Word of God with all of your heart. So as I turn there with you, Psalm 57 tonight, it says, to the chief musician set to do not destroy a mitzvah of David when he fled from Saul into the cave. So remember that a mitzvah, that word, that Hebrew word, it speaks of someone or something that is enduring or that's permanent, if you will, unmovable and fixed or steadfast. When we get to verse 7, when David says, my heart is steadfast, he's saying that my heart is mitzvah. It is permanent. It's firm. It's fixed. It's totally immovable. So Psalm 57, penned by David, whenever he was hiding from King Saul in the wilderness of En-Gedi. And that word En-Gedi means the rock of the wild goats. And so he was, David and his men, they were there hiding. And the Philistines, they came and told Saul, King Saul, that David was hiding there in En-Gedi. And so King Saul, of course, he gets 3,000 of his choice men and so forth. He goes and he's trying to hunt down King David. And as he does so, he enters a cave, King Saul does, to take care of his needs, if you will. And as he does that, he did not realize that David was no longer in the rocks, but David and his men were now in the cave, and they were hiding. And Saul had no idea that David was looking right at him. So this psalm is penned from 1 Samuel 24. You can read it later, verses 1, well, the whole chapter 24. And so let me just give you a couple of verses. In 1 Samuel 24, 4, there they are. Remember, David is hiding in the cave with his men. Saul's in there by himself. And it says, and then the men of David said to him, this is the day of which the Lord has said to you, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you. And here's what David did. David arose and secretly cut Saul's throat. No, I'm three people. I love you. No, he didn't cut his throat. Remember what he did? He cut the corner off of King Saul's robe. In 5 seconds, David could have ended his life as a fugitive. He could have taken the throne of Israel, his rightful place. God had anointed him to take Saul's place, but he didn't do that. It says, and it happened afterward, meaning afterward that David had cut off a piece of his robe, Saul's robe, that he said to the men, oh, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So Saul, there he is. He's coming back out of the cave. You know the story if you've read it, if you remember it. And so what does King David, or what does David do? He yells over to King Saul. And Saul goes, oh, is that you, my child, David, and so forth. And he is holding up the piece of that Saul's garment, his robe that he cut. And he says, see, I could have taken your life, but I didn't. I didn't do that at all. And Saul says, oh, David, you're more righteous than I, because I'm after you for evil, but you're after me for good. And so they made a little pact, even though we know that Saul wasn't on the level. And it says in 1 Samuel 24:12, David says, let the Lord judge between you and me, and let the Lord avenge me on you, but my hand shall not be against you. David said, I'll not touch you, but the Lord will fight my battles. It is there at that time when David was being hunted down that he penned Psalm 57. Title of tonight's message is, I Will Awaken the Dawn. Let's begin. It says, be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me. Did you notice that exclamation mark? He says, for my soul trusts in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. You know what? That's what we're doing tonight, isn't it? We're hiding under the shadow of Almighty God. We believe tonight that He's going to take care of us until this perilous pestilence, this calamity is gone and past. And I wish it was gone today. Amen? But it's not. But it will one day be gone. But until that time, we're going to take our shelter under the wings of Almighty God. And you know what that means? If you take the shelter under his shadow, to cast a shadow means he is present with you. Amen? Oh, he's always so near to us. But what I like what David did, he cried out to God from his heart. He says, oh God, twice, oh Lord, be merciful to me. Aren't you glad tonight that we know that God, the God who saved us, the God who sent his only begotten Son to die in our place, to rescue us from our sin, our shame, our guilt from hell, and have build us a home in heaven? Aren't you glad tonight that our God is rich in mercy, abounding in mercy, unlimited in mercy? If you need mercy, you can go to the throne of grace and find all the mercy you need tonight. Amen? What a wonderful word. The psalmist has written in Psalm 103:8. It says, oh, the Lord is merciful and gracious. He is slow to anger, abounding in mercy. We should be shouting tonight like David did. Man, we should be trusting in God tonight like David did. Amen? Oh, poor discouragement is gone. Listen, he's in trouble. He knows he's in trouble, but he is praising the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 103, verse 8 and following, he says, oh, that God's not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. I am so thankful tonight that his mercy endureth forever. Amen. If I'd kept reading in that psalm, you know what the next verse would have said? It would have said, as far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us, loved one. Look at verse 2. He says, oh, I will cry out to the God Most High, to God who what? Say it. Who performs what things? All things for me. That is a great scripture, loved one. The God who performs all things for me. I encourage you to do a word study this week. Look up that word performs. It means completes. It means to completely finish. It means to bring to completion everything involved in your life. He says, I am going to complete it. I'm going to tell you something, Christian. You should shout this verse in the morning, at noon, in the evening, and before you go to bed at night. Amen. God says this, God is who provides or who performs all things for me. It says God does that, not your strength, not your wisdom, not your might, not your knowledge, none of those things. And he provides or performs all things for me, not some things. That means that God has the plan for your life. He has the plan right now. You might be down in the dumps tonight. You might be up in the mountain rejoicing tonight. You may be just numb from some kind of pain right now. You may be going through things that you just don't even want to talk and you never wouldn't share it with anyone. But God has the plan. And I'm going to tell you something. When God has the plan for your life, he finishes the plan that he has. Amen? He will finish what he starts. The Bible uses, the psalmist in Psalm 138, verse 8, uses the same word. He says, for the Lord will complete those things concerning me, all things. The Word of God teaches us in Philippians, 1:6? It says, being confident of this, that he, meaning God, who began a good work in you, will complete it until the very day of Christ or the very day of redemption. Listen, whatever God starts in our life, he's going to finish. Man, it started out in an eternity, didn't it? Before time ever came about, we were chosen in him before the foundation of this world. Listen, God is working in you right now. Sometimes we all feel that God's not close, that God is not working in us, that our life may be falling apart at times. But let me tell you something. If you belong to Jesus Christ, if Jesus purchased you, I'm telling you what, God is working in you right this very minute. And he's conforming you into the perfect, beautiful image of Christ Jesus. Amen? We have the divine helper. We have the Spirit of truth who is taking us right now from glory to glory to glory into the very same image of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And look at verse 3. It says, he... I love this. The Lord, he shall send or give orders from heaven and save me. Now that's faith, loved one. He reproaches or he humiliates the one who would swallow me up. Selah. He says, God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. And my soul is among lions. He says, I lie among the sons of men who are set on fire, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. And David says, oh, be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let your glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. In other words, they're treating David like an animal to be caught. And my soul is bowed down, and they've dug a pit before me, or they dug a pit just for me, Lord. And he says, into the midst of it, they themselves have fallen. Selah. In other words, pause right there, David says, and think about all that God's going to do. David's enemies, they're setting the trap for David, but guess what? They're going to fall into their own trap. The Bible says in Proverbs 26:27, whoever digs a pit will fall into it, and he who rolls a stone will have it roll back on him. And now we get to one of the greatest verses in the Bible and in this psalm. I love this verse tonight. David cries out in the midst of everything that he's going through. And he says, my heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. David didn't say my mind was steadfast. I'm sure his mind was going back and forth. You understand? He didn't say that in my body is steadfast, fixed, immovable, man never can be moved. He didn't say that at all. He said, though, but my heart, out of the issues of life, they proceed out of the heart. Amen? He said, listen, my heart is resolute. My heart is fixed. My heart is unwavering. My heart is immovable. My heart is perfectly established. And I think tonight each of us need to ask ourselves that question. Is our heart resolute tonight, no matter what we're facing and no matter what we are going through? Psalm 112, a great psalm, tells us this. It says that those who trust in the Lord, they never have to be afraid and they'll never be moved. Let me read Psalm 112:7 to you tonight. It says, he will not be afraid of evil tidings or bad news, okay? And the reason? His heart is steadfast. His heart is fixed. His heart is immovable. And the reason? Trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon the enemies. Listen, today it's easy to fear bad news. Did you know that? I mean, because that's all we hear is bad news. No matter what channel you're on, if you listen to the evening news or maybe the radio or whatever, it's bad news, bad news, bad news, bad news. That's all you hear. And here we are in the middle of the pandemic. I hope we're in the middle. I hope we're on the very end of it. Foreclosures, all the things that are happening, people that are losing their jobs. And then again, as we prayed just a moment ago, less than 3 weeks until the presidential election. But I have some great news tonight. We are the church. Amen. We're the body of Christ. We win. Amen. We win tonight. And there's the gates of hell will never prevail against us. Absolutely never. And let me say something to you. You know that God is bigger than America? Amen. Yeah. God is bigger than the White House. Amen. He's bigger than Democrats and Republicans. He's much bigger than those guys. Okay. Oh, you know, and they sit there and argue one with another. Listen, our hearts are only steadfast when you do one thing, when you trust, rely on, and cling to the Lord God. Amen? You have to trust the Lord. Listen, I know that we right now, we are living in times of uncertainty. I know that. Every day, everything changes. We strive to get back to normal. We push forward and we feel a little bit of normal and then we're pushed back. You know what I mean? So I know that this is a season of uncertainty, but even though we live in a season of uncertainty, we're certain of the outcome. Amen? Yes, we have to be. Listen, you know, I don't want to be political. I'm not trying to be political, but let me just make a statement tonight. If Donald Trump, the president of the United States, if he loses this election, and I'm not saying who I'm for, okay? I'm not, that's not what I'm doing. But if he loses the election, I believe, and I hope I'm wrong, but I believe that we're going to witness the worst riots, the worst civil unrest, and the worst protest that we have seen in this nation in over a century. It's going to be tragic if that happens, and I'm praying that it doesn't. But here's the deal. No matter what happens, here's what we must do. We must stand tonight saying, my heart is steadfast. My heart cannot be altered. I don't care about the bad news. I don't care about the thing. Yes, we do. But we're not going to be moved by it. Amen? See, God is in control. And we look to the Lord. We look to the author and the finisher of our faith. Don't look at all this other nonsense and the battling and the division and all that. Pray against it, but don't worry about it. Amen? That's what we know. We don't need to do that. Listen, the Lord told us. He doesn't want our heart to be troubled. He doesn't want it to be afraid. Jesus said in John 16:33, these things I've spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. Me, not religion, but a living, ongoing, incredible, permanent relationship. He says, in me that you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. There we go. So whatever happens on the election, whatever nonsense people do in this place called America, you know what? Jesus just said, yeah, you're going to have problems. He could have said, you're going to have problems in Portland. You're going to have problems in L.A. You're going to have problems up in Minnesota. You understand? And he says, oh, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Let me read it in another translation. I've deprived the world of its power to harm. I have conquered it for you. Now you be courageous. Amen? That's what we need to be tonight. Courageous. Listen, you're not going to find peace because you're here tonight. Now, let me preface why I'm saying that. Because peace is not going to be found at this church or any church. Oh, yes, you can get saved and have peace with God. But listen, peace is only found in one person, Jesus Christ. Peace is in him. You know, I can be on my knees praying and not be at peace. Do you understand? But boy, when you're with him, I'm telling you, it is peace. And look at verse 7 again. He says, my heart, David cries out, my heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast, it's fixed, it's immovable. And I'm going to sing, he says. I'm going to give praise. And look at verse 8. This is an incredible scripture, loved one. He says, awake my glory. Say that word awake with me. Awake. Oh, you need to underline this scripture. You need to memorize this scripture. He says, awake my glory. In other words, everything that David is, all of his soul, his spirit, his body, he said, I want my entire being, my inner self. You wake up, and you wake up right now. Awake my glory, and watch this. Awake lute. Awake the harp. Those musical instruments. Now, maybe they were right beside him. I don't know. And then he says this, I will awaken the dawn. What kind of word is that? Listen, I meditated on that. I searched every word in that from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 words in the Hebrew. I tore this word apart because it moved me in my spirit. You know, we meditate upon the Word of God. It brings life into us, amen? Because the Word of God is living. It's alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, loved one. Oh, he says, David says, here's what I'm going to do. I will awaken the dawn. Let me give you some other translations. Some of them say, I will awake the dawn. The New Living Translation, I will wake the dawn with my song. Moffat says this, let me awake the dawn. And here's what I say, it's time for us to arise, amen? And it's time for us to arrive because this COVID-19 has put us to sleep. It's not the greatest, most powerful thing in the world. God is, amen? We want to take precautions. We want to wear these masks and whatever we're supposed to do to prevent each other from getting sick. That's not a lack of faith. That's wisdom. Amen? No. But we need to wake up. We need to awaken the dawn. Or maybe we should say the Church of America, the true Church of America, we need to have a reawakening, you know? And I look at that scripture and say, oh, Lord. I said, as I put this together today, as I was actually praying as I put this together, especially this verse, and I said, as I put down on paper, I said, let everyone at Calvary Chapel say right now, I will awaken the dawn. Not sometimes, but every morning. Oh, can you imagine standing outside or looking through your window? It is dark. And you know, that's in my when I pray in the morning, it's early in the morning, and it is dark. It's dark in my little room, and it's, I see the windows. It's dark outside, but there's something about as you're praying, and you know, you're in that darkness, and all of a sudden, it starts getting light outside. That's what David is saying. He says, oh, I will awaken the dawn. That's what I want to do. And let me tell you this. Was David in a good state? No. David was in distress. Look back at verse 4. What does it say? He says, my soul is among lions. He says, their teeth are spears. Their teeth are arrows. Their tongues are sharp swords. So what did David do with that distress? Look at verse 7. I love it. He says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start singing. Praise the Lord. I'm going to start praising God. When? Verse 8. He says, oh, awake my glory. He was up before the sun was rising, and he was praising the God who never sleeps and the God who never slumbers. You know what that tells me? It tells me that David's first business before the sun rose was meeting with God. Is that you? Because that's vital. That is important. He says, oh no, I'm up early. And he says, I will wake up the dawn with my prayers to God and my praises unto the Lord. Praise, prayer were David's first priority, loved one. And it should be the Christian's first priority. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, he says, seek ye first, that's in priority, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. All the things that you need in life, what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, what you're going to put on, and all the rest of those things. Remember when the disciples, when Jesus had gone off to pray in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, and Jesus had been praying, and the scripture says this, and it came to pass as Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he ceased, listen to what happened now, that one of his disciples said to Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray as John, meaning John the Baptist, also taught his disciples. Now listen, we don't know who that disciple was. He's not given the name, but here's the deal. He was there, and Jesus was praying. And he heard Jesus praying. And he said, Lord, I want to know how to pray like you pray. I want you to teach me to pray and so forth. And you know what? The priority of prayer. If John the Baptist needed to pray, if Jesus, the Son of the living God, needed to pray, how much more do we need to pray? See, prayer, as I've always said, is not only the work. Prayer is man's highest activity, and it should never, ever be neglected. Never. It's so important that we pray each morning, every morning, and it's the ultimate test of a true Christian spiritual condition. And so Jesus said to him, look at this pattern of prayer, listen as I read. It says in Luke 2, 11, 2, so Jesus said to them, okay, you want to know how to pray? He says, I'll give you a little outline. He says, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. When is the last time that you prayed the Lord's Prayer? When's the last time you woke up the morning and the dawn before the sun came up? You know, the Lord's Prayer is really the disciples' prayer, isn't it? And you know, you start out how? Just like David was doing. He started out how? I'm going to sing to the Lord. I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm not going to all of a sudden just tell the Lord all my problems. No, listen, Jesus said, okay, if you want to really learn to pray, is you pray like this. Our Father, see, our Father, this is, that means all of us, it's a corporate prayer for the body of Christ. It's not a personal prayer. It's all of us. Amen? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Oh, we praise your name. We praise all the names of God and all the benefits of God. Isn't it great that Jesus starts out and he says, you go to your Father in heaven. And God is our Father by a virtue of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? Now listen, think about all the names of God in the Bible. Have you ever just studied them out? There's over 80 Old Testament names for God. You ever just pray them? You know, maybe you have the list in front of you. That's how you hallow the name of God. How you honor him in the morning, the very first thing. Jesus said, here's what you do. You know, if you want to do that, you start out praising the Lord, just like David did. You ever just wanted to wake up the dawn, you know, and go up there and say, oh, our Father which art in heaven, and start hallowing his name? Let me give you a few of the names of God. It says, how about Jehovah Tsidkenu? That's God, our righteousness. Or Jehovah Imkadesh, Jehovah who sanctifies. Jehovah Shalom, God is our peace. Jehovah Shammah, that God is there, meaning he is present with us. Jehovah Rohi, a God who is our healer. Jehovah Jireh, y'all know that one. God who is our provider, amen. Jehovah Nissi, God is our banner. And Jehovah Rohi, the Lord, he is our shepherd. If you prayed that whole prayer, you know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You start praising him. And then when you get to the next part, you know, tell me, what's the next step? Our Father which art in hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You get all of your priorities right in your life. Lord, I want your will today, not my will. Thy will be done. Amen? What's the next one? Provision. Thank you. Praise. Then your priorities, then your provision. Give us this day our daily bread. Okay, now listen. That is what Jesus said for us to ask for. Lord, God knows what we need. And then what's the next one? Yes. In other words, getting right with one another. Our priorities, you know. Forgive us our sins, our trespasses. We forgive those who trespassed against us. And then protection, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the what? The evil one. And then we go back to praise, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. You can wake up the dawn with a prayer like that. Amen? All those priorities are listed right there for you, loved one. The Bible says in Psalm 34:3, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. All the names of God, all that he is, all the revelation that he has given us about who he is. He says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all of my fears in Psalm 34. Now look at verse 9. I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. Oh, I'm going to sing to you among the nations, all the Gentiles, in other words. Why? Here's the reason. For your mercy reaches unto the heavens, and your truth unto the clouds. Oh, be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let your glory be above all of the earth. David says, I'm going to sing about you, Lord, in the streets to every person I meet. They're going to hear a song come out of my heart and out of my lips. I'm going to sing to you, to all people. And the reason is because of your incredible truth, your unbelievable mercy. Be exalted, O God. And look at verse 7 again. He says, oh, my heart is steadfast. It's fixed. It is immovable. It can never be altered. It is solid. He says, oh, my heart is steadfast. I'm going to sing. I'm going to give praise. Awake, my glory, awake lute and harp, I will awaken the dawn. You know, I know that over all these years, I've told you this story before, but I believe it's appropriate to tell it again. When I was a little boy, I just could not, and I mean little, like 4 or 5 years old, you know what I mean? And it's hard to imagine me that little, but I was, and, you know. And you know how your imagination, when you're a child, your imagination is just so fluid and wild. And I never could. I kept trying to understand, how did it get light? Why? I mean, it's dark. And then where did the light come from? How did that happen? Because, you know, when you're little, you sleep through the night. You wake up and it's already, you know what I mean. Are y'all with me? So one night, I'll never forget it, I went out on the front porch. I was determined to figure it out. And I went outside and I said, okay, I want to know when it gets light and how it gets light and how all this happens. I didn't know if there was some magic to it or whatnot. So I went outside. And back then, you know, you have those big front porches that were huge, big as a house. And you had the brick little mantle. And so and there was a brick behind me. So I leaned against the brick and I sat down on that big old piece of mantle and I just waited all night long. Man, you'd be surprised what you can hear at night, especially when nobody has air conditioning. Back then, you hear them arguing at 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, I was like, ooh, I didn't know about that, you know. Man, I knew everything that was going on, you know. And then I waited and waited. And back then they had taxi cabs, you know, like the yellow cab, or I forget, Ernest and Bernie or whatever it was. I don't know. You know, Crummy and Dummy. I don't know which one it was. They would be going up and down the streets, you know, and so forth. And then all of a sudden, there I was. I'd been up all night long. And then the dawn. And I said, what? That's it? That's right. It just came from darkness and got lighter and lighter and lighter. There is something supernatural whenever a believer will be like a little child and go out in his prayer time before the morning sun ever comes up, and he comes out there and he awakens the dawn with praise to God. Amen. There's something supernatural that happens in your life, and something that's supernatural happens to you, loved one. What a great scripture that is. And he says, oh, in Psalm 58, to the chief musician, set to the tune of Do Not Destroy, another Mishnah of David. So David is now praying this prayer, recording for us about the just treatment of God. He's going to judge the wicked. He says in verse 1 of Psalm 58, he says, do you indeed speak righteousness or justice? He's talking now to about the unjust judges at that time. Do you indeed speak justice, you silent ones? He says, do you judge uprightly, you sons of men? David says, no. No, you don't. He says, in heart you work wickedness. You weigh out the violence of your hands in the earth. David says, you wicked judges, you know what you're doing? You plan to deceive. You plan injustice. You plan this kind of violence. He says, oh, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. And we all know why. Because of the fall of Adam and Eve. We were all like that. And so David, you know, he's saying, you know what? You don't even know the meaning of the word righteousness or the meaning of the word justice. So instead of establishing justice for the people, they were producing wickedness. Thank God we know who the true judge is. Amen? He says, and their poison is like the poison of the serpent, and they are like the deaf cobra that stops its ear, which will not heed, or literally that will ignore the voice or the tunes of charmers, charming ever so skillfully. In other words, no matter how they played the little tune to the cobra, you know, to charm it and everything, to bring it up out of the basket, he says, oh, he says, break their teeth in their mouth. You ever prayed like that? Woo! Not unless you are on 8:20 in the morning, okay? He says, no, break their teeth in their mouth, meaning let's be kinder. Stop their mouth from speaking lies, okay? He says, oh God, break out the fangs of the young lions, oh Lord. Meaning, because David's saying they're eating the righteous up alive. So he says about these wicked judges, he says they're like a group of snakes that are totally out of control. They do not hear the voice of the charmers. They do not hear the voice of Almighty God either. He says, let them flow away as waters which run continually. He says, when he bends his bow, let his arrows be as if it cut in pieces, and let them be like a snail which melts away as it goes. I have that one on my refrigerator, folks. He says, like a stillborn child or child of a woman, that they may not see the sun. In other words, stillbirth, if you will. Now watch this. He says, before your pots can feel the burning thorns. He says, faster than a pot that's maybe boiling something from the burning of the thorns, he says, do it faster than that. Before it even comes to a boil, do it suddenly, he says, and he shall take them away as with a whirlwind in his living and burning wrath. It says, the righteous shall rejoice when he sees the vengeance. He shall wash his feet. That verse 10 is very important. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked. I think that verse 10 is a picture of the future, if you will. I believe is a picture of the greatest future event in the history of mankind, and that is the second coming of Jesus Christ, the bodily, personal, visible return of our Lord and Savior. And if you could reference that, it would go all the way over to Revelation 19:11, which says this, John writes, oh, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat upon it was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, meaning he's the sole ruler of the earth, Jesus Christ our Lord. He had a name written that no one knew except himself, and he was clothed with a robe, here it is, dipped in blood, meaning the blood of his enemies. And his name is called the Word of God. Loved one, this is a picture of the coming judgment on this planet. What a horrible time that is going to be. The Bible says in, I believe it's Revelation 14:20, that the blood during that horrible time, that the blood will come as high to the bridle of a horse. What a horrible time the great tribulation and the second coming is going to be. And listen to this one. And it says, John says in Revelation 19:14, and the armies in heaven, armies plural, they're clothed in fine linen, white and clean. That's us, loved one. That's the church. And it says, oh, they followed Jesus. They followed him on white horses. No weapons. We don't have a gun. We don't have anything. We just have white garments. Amen. And a horse. I hope you learn to ride, all right? And then what's going to happen? Zechariah 14:4, the second coming of Christ. Where does his feet touch down? Right on the Mount of Olives. In Zechariah 14:5 says, thus the Lord God will come, and here it is, and all his saints with him. Zechariah 14:9 says, and the Lord shall be king over all of the earth forever and ever and ever and ever. Remember Jude 14, behold, it says, now Enoch the seventh from Adam prophesied about these men, saying, I'm so sorry, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints, but we're not coming to fight. We're coming back to reign with our Lord. Amen. Oh, what a day. And then verse 15 of Revelation 19, it says, now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and with it he shall strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of his fierce wrath of Almighty God. Now listen, we will come back with the Lord. Amen. And, oh, what a day that's going to be, yet future. I'm talking about, you know, yes, the rapture, but we will come back with the Lord at the second coming. Listen, Jesus is not coming back to this planet to persuade the world that he's the king. Do you understand? He is the king. And he is the king. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess, amen, that Jesus is Lord. And guess what? You're going to be right there with him. And, oh, the reign of man one day. All their lies, all the confusion, the chaos is going to finally be over with. What a day that's going to be when man is no longer ruling, but Jesus Christ, the true king, is ruling. Amen? Oh, what a day. And the wicked one, the Antichrist, and all of them, you know what's going to happen? There's not going to be a fight. It says in 2 Thessalonians 2:8, and then the lawless one, it says, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with his brightness of his coming. It's just going to blow him completely away. It says in Revelation 19:16, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. What a day that is going to be. You know, it says in verse 11 of Psalm 58, look at it, so that men will say, surely there is a reward for the righteous, meaning those who live for the Lord, that love the Lord. Surely, that word means it's certain. You can't change it. Surely he is God who judges in the earth. Have you? What a prayer of David. Have you ever prayed like that? And that's what you call a prayer. Now listen, we don't take vengeance in our own hands now at all, do we? The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He'll pay back. We don't have to worry about it. We're to love our enemies. But this is the old covenant. Listen, God is coming. He's coming to judge this world one day. The judgment of God is real. It says in Psalm 96:13, for he is coming. For he is coming to judge the earth, and he shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. We don't have any problem saying the king is coming, but does it bother you to say the judge is coming? Amen? Here come the judge. You know, I'm telling you. No, listen, it's almost dawn. It's almost dawn. Oh, David said, I will awaken the dawn with my prayers, with my praises. I will pray through the last glimmer of night into the light of the sun. What a glorious word, David. I love that scripture. It's almost dawn. The Bible says in James 5:9, behold, the judge is standing at the door. Listen, Jesus is seated at the right hand of Christ right now. Amen. I mean, seated at the right hand of God on the throne. He's seated, but one day he is going to stand. And when he does, he's going to be right at the door. Judgment is then coming. Oh, I'll tell you, I want to be like David right here. I want to stand up and say, where's the lute? Where's the harp? Oh, man, wake up, Bill. Everything in your body, wake up, because I'm getting ready to walk out into my prayer room, and I will awaken the dawn with praises to God, with songs unto the Lord. Oh, what a mighty calling that we have. David said in verse 7, oh God, my heart is steadfast. Twice he said that. My heart is fixed. It's immovable. It cannot be changed because I trusted you. He says, oh, I will awaken the dawn. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:14, Paul the apostle writing, we've already studied that out some time back. He says this, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Who is he talking to? He's talking to those that are dead in trespasses and sins, that are not born again. He says, oh, listen, arise right now, wake up, and the light of the world, Jesus Christ, he will give you light. Aren't you glad that we know the only way out of darkness? Aren't you glad that we know the only way out of sin and shame and guilt? And the reason is Jesus. The light has truly come. God is good. In the morning, would you do something? I'm asking you, this is just as a brother to brother, sister, and so forth. Listen, read that scripture in the morning before you turn on the lights and everything. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how. Use your cell phone light. I don't care. But go before the sun comes up and read verse 7 and verse 8 of Psalm 57. Stand up to your feet in your prayer room, or get on your knees, or get on your face. But tell the Lord, Lord, I want to sing to you. I want to offer praises unto you. I want to awake the dawn in your name. I want to move out of the darkness into the glorious light of the sun that you created. You do that in the morning. Something will happen. God will hear. God will touch you. And some of you need to be touched. Some of you need to feel his presence like never before. Some of you need, all of us need, to be embraced by our Father. Father, tonight we praise you. Oh, your word, Lord, the word that you've exalted above your very name, we praise you. Oh, Lord, we praise you for the treasure of your word. Oh, awaken us again, Lord. Awake us all up. Oh, Lord, let us not fear what the day is bringing. Lord, we know that you're with us. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. You'll always take care of us, Lord. Let us not look at this crazy world, but let us look unto the author the finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ. And Lord, tonight, those listening live, and Lord, those that are here, if they don't know you, anyone, if they've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of their life, do so right now. Do so this very minute. Say, Jesus, save me. Come into my heart. Take over my life. I give myself to you, Lord. Oh, Lord, thank you. We give you praise and glory and honor. This church, Lord, we will awaken the dawn. In Jesus' name we pray, and we all say, amen. God is good. Let's stand to our feet tonight, shall we?